How many have learned something on this judgment seat of Christ? Has it helped you understand what you need to do now so that it'll make it easier for you over there? That's what I'm hoping and praying that we'll be getting across to all of us. And we found that we stand before Him. There's two judgment seats. One is the great white throne judgment. Only sinners go there. Then there's the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian will stand there. And we found out through the Word of God that the reason we will all stand there is because there's darkness still in our soul when we leave here. And that has to be brought out of us and gotten out of us. And the more we get out of us down here, the better off we'll be there. And those of you who don't have all of the notes, when you pick up the tapes in the tape room, they have the other notes back there that you can get from them, so you'll have all handed out. Let's open with prayer. Father, we come before You again in that precious name of Jesus. Lord, this is Your Word. We want to understand it rightly. We want to divide it rightly, Lord. We want the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, to speak through me and to each and every one of us tonight, Lord, that we will grow and understand, become more like You, Father. But most of all, that we'll have a desire in our hearts, Lord, burning, and a fire burning inside of us, Lord, to let the flesh die, get rid of the things of the flesh, that the Spirit alive inside of us, Lord, can come alive greater on the outside, that the decisions we make, Lord, will be made through our inner man and not the outer man. And Father, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On page 3 there, we're down to the word, down to verse 13. It's about two-thirds of the way down of that page. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm not going to take time to go back over the notes. If you haven't been here, get the tapes and get the other notes. I want to get as far and as much as I can tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church in the area of them being babies in Christ. They were following different leaders. And he was trying to get them to understand that they needed to grow out of that, grow past that, grow up, and let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Follow Him. Follow Jesus and Him alone. Yes, we listen to men and women of God, but we don't follow them. We follow Jesus. Down in verse 13, he says, "Each one's work will become clear." And I was thinking about that. Each one's work. What is your work? The Lord told me, He says, that's what you do with your mouth and your body. Each one's work will become clear. What you've said and what you've done with your body is what's going to become clear. How many know we have body language? That's something you do with your body, especially husbands and wives. They can talk, they can carry on a whole conversation, never say a word. Trouble is, most of the time when you're carrying body language, it's not... I ain't going to go there. Let's just stick with where we're going here tonight. That which you do with your mouth and your body will become clear. The word clear, it means these things are going to become clearly visible to the eye or obvious to the understanding. Now, he's talking about what's going to happen on the when you get before the judgment seat of Christ here. Everything's going to become clear. The trouble is, everybody's going to be there and know. Oh, we don't like that. Well, friend, as we said last week when we were here, it's just going to be you and Jesus dealing with it. The ones that have been through it are glad they've been through it. The ones that ain't been through it don't want to, you know, they know they're coming there. So it's just you and Jesus. Don't worry about it. You'll be so glad to get rid of that darkness that's in you, because you're going to be so free once you get rid of all that darkness. You're going to be so free that won't matter. Go to Galatians 5:18. I'm going to read this quickly, or try to. In Galatians 5, it gives what the works of the flesh and what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, we're just talking about the works will become clear before Him. So, it's either the works of the outer man or the works of the inner man. In verse 18, he says, if you are led by the Spirit, in other words, if you conduct your life by your born-again spirit, you are not under the law, but the works or the results of your flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if you live only by your flesh, and that's where your life is at, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The word practice here, in other words, the things that you do, it means expressing an action as continued or not yet completed. What one does repeatedly or habitually. If you, as a born-again Christian, love God, and you're still habitually doing what I just read there, you better watch where you're headed, because you're not headed into God. You're headed out of God, and you're going straight away from Him. And you go far enough that way, you'll cross the line. There's no way back. Friend, I hope we get the idea. This world is not a play thing. Your walk with God is for real. Your walk with God will either draw you closer to Him, or it will take you away from Him. God is not playing tiddlywinks with us. He means business. Then he goes on to tell what the fruit of the Spirit is. Verse 22. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How many of you feel like you have that in you? Love, joy, peace. Do you feel like that sometimes? Sometimes you feel like it and sometimes you don't. But see, there's something you've got to understand about your born-again spirit. It has the very nature of God in you, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness. You have it in you, whether you feel it or not, because it's in your born-again spirit if you will let it out. But if you're doing what the flesh said on the outside here, you're not letting those things out. You got to slow down. You got to kill the flesh, so to speak. Don't take a gun to it. That's not the way it means. It works. Yeah, that's true. People have proven that works. I don't think they got the results they wanted. But then in verse 24 he says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Notice how he speaks in past tense there. Do you always feel like you've already crucified the flesh? How many of you, your flesh has got you in trouble this week? Yeah? Usually it has. Then he says, if we live in the Spirit, and this is just what he's trying to get us to understand. He's talking about your born-again spirit. He's not talking about walking in the Holy Ghost. He's talking about walking in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Is there a difference? Huge difference. If you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to do something through you so you do it right, you're never going to get it done. But if you make a decision to do what's right by the help of the Holy Spirit, now you'll get something done. As a Pentecostal boy, I was raised in Pentecost. They taught you from the viewpoint that you walk by the Holy Spirit. In other words, if the Holy Spirit, you know, they even taught it was good to speak in tongues, but it was only if you was in church service, or if everything was going good, or if you felt the presence by your flesh, the help of the Holy Spirit, then you could pray in tongues. They didn't teach me that I can pray in tongues anytime I want to, wherever I'm at, just because I want to, because they didn't know how to do it. But see, that's depending on the Holy Spirit to get you to do what's right when you've already got inside of you and know what you need to do that is right. Then the Holy Spirit can now anoint that and move with you. It's just the same idea as you trying to drive a car. It's kind of hard to steer a car when it's sitting still. But you get it moving, now you can steer it. God's waiting for you and I to get busy doing what's right, and then He can help steer us down the road into the right direction. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, the word walk, and we touched on this before, but I want to do it again. It signifies to walk in line and is used metaphorically of walking in relation to others. Where is your most trying time? It's with other Christians. You don't expect the world to treat you like a Christian. You expect your brother and sister to treat you like a Christian. And when they don't, they're out of line. The problem is, they probably are out of line. But does that give you a right to be out of line? Ouch! Why? Because I am to walk in love whether they do or not. It says, you walk in the Spirit. It didn't tell you to make your brother or sister walk in the Spirit. I've never heard so much in my life of blaming as we hear nowadays. Everybody's blaming everybody for everything. Nobody's taking any responsibility for anything. I'm talking about church people. I'm not talking about the world. I don't expect them to take responsibility. But I expect us to. We're supposed to be responsible for our walk with God. I'm not responsible for yours, but I am responsible for how I treat you, whether you're right or wrong. Fact is, you need my love more when you're wrong than when you're right. So it's dealing here, when he's talking about walking in your Spirit, it's dealing with a lot of the time in how you treat one another. And that's going to have a lot to do on the judgment seat of Christ, because the way we have treated one another is what we're going to have to deal with up there. If you don't treat me right down here, you're going to have to get rid of it up there. Because God's not going to let you out of the judgment seat of Christ until all darkness is out of you. So the more darkness you have in you, the longer you're going to be there. So the more you get rid of down here, the more you do what you know by the Holy Spirit you're supposed to do, then... And be careful how I agree with that, by the Holy Spirit. But don't wait for the Holy Spirit to do it. You start doing what's right, and then He'll anoint you. And He'll help you and give you the strength to do it. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We ain't got time to go there. Let's go on here. Go back to your notes. We'd spend the whole night right there. Back in our notes it says, it will be declared. I'll go back to Romans, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. 13, excuse me. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. The day, the judgment day. Judgment seat of Christ, that day. That's going to declare. And the word declare means to reveal or bring to light. And Hebrews 12:25, I would have not put this scripture in line with this, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me get away from it. It don't seem like it really fits, but this is what He told me to read. So Hebrews 12:25-29, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth. Now he's referring back to when Moses was given the law on the mountain, and the voice of the Lord shook the mountain so bad that the people says, "Oh, Moses, you can go up and talk to him. We don't want anything to do with it." Scared them. And so his voice shook the earth at that time. And then much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. In other words, from Jesus Christ. He's referring basically back to chapter 1 where he spoke in the old times through the prophets. But today he's speaking through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what he's referring to here. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. So he's not going to just shake the earth, but he's going to shake the heavens with his voice this time, because now he's speaking from the heavens. And if you refuse Moses' law, or the word of God that was spoken down here, what are you going to do? How are you going to refuse the voice of Jesus? Because there's nothing can stop him. Verse 27, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And this is how he told me to apply this. Friend, at the judgment seat of Christ, everything that can be shaken, everything that's darkness in you and me is going to be shaken out of us. You don't have a choice in the matter. I know that sounds very harsh, very hard. Sounds like God is a hard God to get along with. No, he's not. But one thing God is, and that is he's light. In him is no darkness at all. And there will be no darkness in heaven. So you are not going to walk into heaven itself until you've been through the judgment seat of Christ and you have all darkness removed out of you. That's the way I see what he's telling us through the Word of God. And he's wanting us to get it out of us as much as we can possibly do that while we're down here. I don't know how many of you remember that part of the notes I gave you. I'm just going to hang it up here, put it up here for you guys to look at again. Say, this is, after you're totally clean, there's no darkness in you at all. This is what you look like, either this or this or this or this or this is one of them you're going to look like when you get up there. However you leave here is how you enter the judgment seat of Christ. But the more you deal with down here and walk in humility and get rid of the lust of the flesh and get rid of pride and those things, the more you get out down here, the less time you're going to spend up there. And everything that you go through down here, every situation, every fight with your wife or your husband or your friend or your neighbor, everything, every one of them, you can use that to help yourself to get rid of darkness down here and walk in humility and walk in forgiveness. Or you can hold on to that down here, and all what you're doing is holding on to darkness, and it'll just hold right in your soul, and you'll just take it with you when you go. Does that mean you're going to lose your salvation? No, it don't. Your spirit's born again and cleansed, but your soul, which is the two are connected eternally together, you cannot separate them, has got to be cleansed. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is about. That's why you won't be at the white throne judgment. That's only for sinners, and the sinners won't be there. Okay, let's go back now to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. This is one of our first scriptures, and I just want to read it again, because we want to go into, for the rest of the evening, just scriptures on where God is telling us how to get rid of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, where we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done. And the word in there is, in the Greek, it's through. Things done through the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the reason that is through the body is because your spirit is housed in this flesh. And what you do with your spirit through your flesh is what is going to have to do with how you appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Your body, this physical body we have, really is supposed to be our slave. It's supposed to be just the vehicle, like you go get in your car to go somewhere. That's basically all you're supposed to do with this body, with your spirit. It's housed in your body, and it should just take you where you want to go, do what you want to do with your spirit, and it should be shut down otherwise. I wished it was that easy to do, don't you? How many would like it if your flesh would just bow down before you and say anything you want, anytime you want, any way you want it, I'm just here to do it, and I won't do anything unless you tell me to? Wouldn't that be lovely? We keep believing that, don't we? On the back of your page, I have Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 25, and we're just going to start reading them. And this is in the Contemporary English Version. It isn't necessarily perfect. But it does bring out some real good thoughts, and I just wanted to let you read these and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Verse 1, you have been raised to life with Christ. Well, you thought you were alive before you got born again. You were physically, but you weren't spiritually alive to God. So he says, you've been raised. When you got born again, you're raised to life with Christ. In other words, you're back in fellowship with God like Adam was before he sinned. You are in fellowship. You are in life with God. Now set your heart. Now it's back on your shoulders. He done what he could do by you inviting him in, and he gave you a new spirit created in Christ Jesus to good works. Now you set your heart on what is in heaven, where Christ rules at God's right side. You set your heart on what is in heaven. See, this is where the Pentecostal church missed it. They said, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you got it made. Well, actually getting saved, born again, or filled with the Holy Spirit is just the very foundation. You ain't even hardly got started yet. But they're trying to tell you that that's as far as you need to go. And that's why most of them have never gone any farther. But God's saying, no, I want you to grow up now. But to grow up, you got to set your mind on what's in heaven with me, where I'm at. You got to keep your mind on my things, not your things. Verse 2, think about what is up there, not about what is here on earth. How often do we do that? 1 hour a week, we go to church, we're doing God a duty. We think about the things of God at least 1 hour a week. That won't get it. That won't get it. That won't even get you out of diapers. Think about what's up there. Verse 3. You died. You died. Did you hear what that said? You died. The you is the flesh. See, your spirit was dead, away from God, and your flesh was alive. But when your spirit came alive, your flesh is supposed to have died to the lusts and the desires and the things of the flesh. You died, which means that your life is hidden with Christ who sits beside God. Well, how do you do that? And now I'm going to read these to you. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Seeing that His divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby He hath granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that kind of takes our excuses away, doesn't it? What excuse do you have for not thinking on Him when He says, I've given you my word, that's what I think about, that's what we talk about up here in heaven, and He says, that's what I want you talking about. He says, I've given you these precious promises. Think about them. He says, actually, when you talk about the Word of God and your mind is on the things in heaven, He says the divine nature is flowing in you. That's what He's saying there. When you talk about the Word of God, you're praising the Lord, you're praying in tongues, you're doing the things that the spirit man wants to do, the divine nature is flowing through you at that time. Well, my flesh sure don't feel like it. Who cares? It's not supposed to feel it. If it does, fine. If it don't, fine. It shouldn't make any difference. God's Word said His divine nature is in you when you're talking about the things of God, and His divine nature is flowing through you. You take that by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. My favorite way of quoting that scripture is you walk by faith and not by your five senses. We've been programmed into this world system by our five senses. Now we are trying to program our spirit man by those same five senses, and it gets you in trouble every time. Your five senses will take you away from God, not into God. And God said His Word, when you're talking His Word, His divine nature is becoming a very part of your life. Verse 4, Christ gives meaning to your life. And when He appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. Christ gives meaning. See, every one of these verses, he's talking to us about the judgment seat of Christ because he's telling us how to get rid of the darkness. If you'll do everything it says in these verses, you'll begin to get rid of the darkness in your life. And when you get rid of darkness, light takes its place. Well, see, if you turned all the lights off in this building, the darkness would overtake it, and we'd be sitting here in the dark. And if you turn the lights back on, it seems like it chases away the darkness. But in your spirit and in your soul life, you have to take and push the darkness out. That spells work. The darkness don't leave by itself. If you don't get more of God's Word and His light inside of you, your flesh will take over and do what the flesh wants, and the flesh is not light. There is no light in your flesh. Only darkness. I get so mad at some of these Christians. God knows how He made me, and it's okay to have sex or do these things because God made me with those desires, and He knows that's the way I am, and I can't help it, and all I got to do is go ask Him, you think Christians are thinking that way? Oh, yeah. I've had them talk to me. Do you think you can tell by that kind of thinking how close they are to God? He told me a volume. He just didn't understand, didn't know it. He told me how stupid he was, spiritually speaking. Oh, that's not my business. That's not my problem. I got enough problem with me. Christ gives meaning to your life, and when He appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. Verse 5, don't be controlled by your body. Wonder why he had to put that in there. Pardon? Oh. Listen to what he says the body has the problem with right there in that verse. Kill every desire for the wrong kind of sex. Don't be immoral or indecent or have evil thoughts. Don't be greedy, which is the same as worshiping idols. He deals with the two things that are the biggest problem in the flesh. Sex, money. That's what he's talking about there. Why do you think he said, start out with, your body's dead? Because he knew if you didn't get that point, these others was going to take over. Don't be controlled by your body. Don't be immoral or indecent and have evil thoughts. Oh my. I forgot he dealt with your thinking process there. How many of you, you're doing the best you know how, but some evil thoughts sneak in once in a while. Yeah. You may not be able to totally stop that, but you don't have to let it build a nest in there. Stop it. You may not be able to stop all that, but you can certainly stop it from staying there. How many of you believe that you choose what you think about? How many really believe that you choose what you think about? Okay, now you're responsible for your thoughts. Got one on you. That is true. We are responsible. Hey, that's why he says don't do it. He didn't say go grab the Holy Ghost and have him come in and help you get rid of it. He didn't say that there. He just said don't do it. Obviously, we have that choice and ability to do it. Verse 6, God is angry with people who disobey Him by doing these things. And I thought, Lord, there's got to be more to that. What are you saying here? So he said, look up the word angry. The word anger is desire with grief. Anger is desire with grief. The only way I know how to explain that is if you've had children and you've told them what is right for them to do, the best thing for them to do, and they knowingly go against that, you get anger, but boy, you've got a grief inside because you know they're hurting themselves. And how much do you think more does God know us and love us so deeply that He gave His Son for us, the ultimate, the everything He could do for us, and He shares with us in His Word, and He teaches us by the Holy Spirit what to do, and we turn and still go our own way? Yes, God has anger, but it's with grief. How many know when you know the Word of God and you still do what's wrong, you don't have an excuse anymore? See, that's darkness inside of you that will have to go on the day of the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll spend time there until it's all out of you. The more we do that here, the better we are off. Because you're disobeying Him, and actually what this is referring back to is the verse just before it. You're disobeying Him by doing these things. Verse 7, and that is exactly what you did when you lived among people who behaved in this way. Talk about peer pressure. There's a scripture on it. You get around people that do that, and you stay there, and you quit being in church, you're going to end up doing just what they do. That's all He's saying there. He says, that's what you did. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. Verse 8, but now you must stop doing such things. Again, He didn't say, go run and get the Holy Ghost. Don't say, Jesus, I can't help myself, poor little me. He just said, stop doing it. You say, well, I just don't have the strength. Well, there's a reason you don't have the strength. It's because you're not spending time in the Word and enough time in prayer and spending meaning business in your walk with God. There's a lot of people who have a walk with God, but they don't mean business yet. It's like Pastor was saying this morning, if you believe something, you'll argue about it. But when you have the conviction, you'll die for it, and nobody can say or do anything about it. And that's where we need to live in our walk with God, is having an absolute conviction to where it don't matter what anybody says, thinks, or does, you're going to do what God says, period. That will get the darkness out of you, because that kind of conviction is light. You must quit being angry, hateful, and evil. You must no longer say insulting or cruel things about others. That would take care of a lot of family problems. Church problems also, yes. Absolutely. How many of you know that there'll be no gossip in heaven? That's darkness. It won't be there. Verse 9, stop lying to each other. Now listen, Paul's talking to church people here. Church people lie? Well, of course not. What's the matter with you, Paul? They must have had people in their church back there like we got. Better go on here. You have given up your old way of life with its habits. Past tense, you have given up. Verse 10, each of you is now a new person. You are becoming more and more like your Creator, and you will understand Him better. Well, how can you become like someone if you don't spend time with them? You can't. No, I'm not going there. I was going to get into marriages, and I ain't going there. Verse 11. It doesn't matter if you are a Greek or a Jew, or if you are circumcised or not. You may even be a barbarian or a Scythian, and you may be a slave or a free person. Yet Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. So you know He's talking to Christians here. Christ is all that matters. That's why it doesn't matter what nationality you are. When we are Christians, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And color, race means nothing. Christ is everything. Did you clean yourself up without Christ? I don't think so. Christ in you. That's the whole thing. That's everything. That's what we fellowship around. That's what we can talk about. I was sharing with somebody earlier this evening. My dad believed from one church, and my uncle believed from another church. Both went to church very faithfully. Both were involved in their churches. Both were leader in their churches. But they couldn't talk about the things of God because of the one difference of how they believed you need to be baptized in water. I don't remember one time of hearing them ever talk about the things of God. And it was because of that one thing. I hate that. I have never taught on a controversial subject to my knowledge to where it was that somebody really had a problem with, and I won't do it. Why? Because there's too many things that we can get along on. It's Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Christ is all. Christ is everything. It's Him in you. It's Him in me. And that's what we fellowship over. That's what we can talk about. And man, you can talk all day about Jesus. Pastor and I get in the Word of God, man, we get going. We get going for hours. Because one thing will spark another. And He'll say something and it'll spark it in me. And I'll say something and spark it in me. We just keep on going. Why? And we're just literally having fun. It's fun to talk about the things of God. It's been some years back that we had working at the time. I had a Tuesday night Bible study, and they were all Lutherans going. And these people were hungry for the Word of God. And they'd ask a question, and man, something would just start off in me. And I'd talk for 15, 20 minutes trying to answer that one little question. And my wife would say, please don't put a nickel in him. Why? But here was somebody that was hungry. And man, and it still does to this day. Somebody ask a question, man, something will go off inside of me. And man, the Holy Spirit. Why? And I found out something over the years. I found out that when a person is hungry about the things of God and they ask a question, the Holy Ghost goes off in me. When somebody asks a question and they don't mean business, nothing goes off in here. I'm not judging that person. I know what the works. If you're hungry in the things of God and you get into the things of God and start asking, the Holy Ghost will go off in me or pastor or who you're asking the question to, because God wants that need met. You're His child, and if you have a question that you really are interested in, God's going to answer that or say, that needs to be waiting a few years down the road. When you're ready for it, then I'll answer it. And that's okay. But most of the time, man, I've seen Him. Either He will give me the answer or He'll give me something that will draw them closer to Him, that will help them and keep them hungry for the things of God. Because He cares. He's a good daddy. Verse 12, God loves you and has chosen you as His own special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, patient. You know, sometimes you guys need to remember that the woman you're married to is God's daughter. She belongs to Him spiritually, not you, and vice versa. Your husband belongs to God spiritually, not you. In the flesh you belong to each other, but spiritually you belong to Him. You're married to Him. You're a part of Him. Don't try and control each other spiritually. You don't have the right. God never gave you that right. He wants you walking together with Him first in both of your lives, and the closer you get to Jesus, the better you'll get along together. I learned that the hard way. I wanted to control my wife like my dad had controlled my mother. I thought that was right. I was raised seeing that. That's all I'd watched all my life. But God loved my wife more than I did. And because I read the Word every day of my life, and I'd spend time in that Word, He got in my face. And He says, you won't do that again. Thank God, I'm not the same person I was 40 years ago. I am not. You guys wouldn't be sitting in here listening to me if I was, because I was a smart aleck know-it-all. In case maybe some of that's still coming out, I don't know. You judge. Maybe I ain't changed as much as I thought. I don't know. Oh, boy. Verse 13, listen to this. Put up with each other. telling you that? Is that the Holy Ghost? Is that His word or is that yours? He says, you put up. Then He says, on top of that, right after that, He says, and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. And boy, He leaves you no room there. How many of you have forgiven as much as Christ forgave you? We ain't reached that yet. We're working on it, but we ain't reached it yet. I know, some think they have, but... we won't do that. Love is more important than anything else. I like that. Verse 14. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. Now, is that your love or God's love? Can you show God's love as though it actually is God's love? Absolutely yes. Do we do it all the time? Absolutely not. I want to ask this question, though. Are you trying? I hope so. And the shorter time you've been married, the more you need to try it. How many of you understand? See, it'll be 42 years in June that I've been married. And it's a lot easier to love my wife now because she's more like, you know, what I've trained her to be. But you want to know the other coin? Side of that same coin? I'm more like what she's trained me to be. Also, by a far one. Praise God. We haven't argued in so long, I don't think I could argue with her. I would not know how to argue with my wife. I just don't. We just don't argue. If we see each other's ticked about something, we just back off. Give them room. The Lord had to wake me up one day. How many of you have worked on cars that don't like to work on cars? Same here. Well, when I get working on a car and it rarely went all right, I'd get irritated. Well, my body language told her real fast I was mad. I'd slam doors and do this and do that. And man, she backed way off. But finally one day, she had the strength to say, John, are you mad at me? I said, of course not. I have nothing to be mad at you about. But I did not say that in a very good tone. And the Holy Spirit got in my face and He says, you won't ever do that again. He says, she finally said something to you. You've been hurting her all these years because she didn't know you weren't mad at her. Because you was taking out on her what you'd allowed something else to make you mad with. And He says, now you stop it. Thank God He did that. He don't like you having your little temper tantrums. And if you really love Him, He'll get in your face. Love is more important than anything completely together. Each one of you is part of the body of Christ. You were chosen to live together in peace. Oh my goodness. Wow. You were chosen to live together in peace. Who chose? He did. But see, first you chose Him. Now He's given you His choice. And that's for us to walk in peace and love with one another. Can we do it? Can we do it? Can we do it? Well, I don't know whether... No wonder we don't get along. We don't even believe we can do it. Yes, we can do it. If you walk by your born-again spirit and not by your flesh. If you walk by your flesh, yeah, we're going to have fights and struggles and problems. You walk by your born-again spirit and it'll stop most of that stuff from going on. We can walk together in peace. But see, it's not your peace, it's His peace. God has given us His peace. How many know when you're in peace with God or not? How many know when you're not in peace in here? You can tell there's something wrong. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit's shouting at us and we can't even hear Him. Because when you're angry, you don't hear very well spiritually. I don't. I've had him get very loud with me at times to try and get through to me. Because I didn't want to listen. I wanted my way. After I get my way, now I'll walk in peace with you. I don't think that's what he meant there, do you? He wants us to walk in peace as he's having his way in our lives. That's what he wants. That's what works. You were chosen to live together in peace. So let the peace that comes from Christ control your thoughts and be grateful. You mean I got to be grateful for how you just treated me? That's not what he's saying there. What he's saying there is you need to be grateful for who he is in you. And let him work out in that other person's life what needs to be worked out. But while God's working that out in their life, he may just have a few things to work out in your life. Just a few. Unless you're one of those, well, I don't think there even is one on the planet Earth that does everything perfectly. I don't think so. I know I don't. I'm anywhere near it. Just watch my driving, you can tell that. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. He's riding with me at times and he can verify that I need help. Verse 16, let the message about Christ completely fill your lives. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the more of Christ you have in you, the less darkness you have in you? The more you get of the darkness and the selfish things out of you, the more of the life and the light of Christ that will come in you. Because he is light. In him is no darkness at all. Christ, let him completely fill your lives while you use all your wisdom to teach and instruct each other. Oh my goodness. That means we're all teachers. He says we're to teach and train and help one another. You know what that makes us do? Walk in humility. Because the Lord Jesus Christ can take a person that's just born again and teach me something. And if I won't listen to it, it's not that person's fault. I'm the one that's got the problem. And I better deal with it. Because if he wants to teach me, I've had him teach me through people that are not even born again. Now how stupid do you have to be to do that? Been there, done that. Not in quite a few years, thank God. I'm not saying I can't get there again, but I don't plan on going there. I want to be where I can let anybody at any time that God has given them something for me, I will receive that and say, thank you, Jesus. I want to walk in that kind of humility. Because it takes humility to let us instruct each other. And then he says, not only that, do it with thankful hearts. Do it with a thankful heart. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Have you ever noticed that when you're angry, you don't do a very good job of that? I dare you to, right in the middle of a good anger thing someday, grab a hymn book or go get a book and start praising and worshiping God. See how long it takes you to get out of that. It'll take you some time. Right, Tammy? That wasn't fair, was it? No, I don't think anything about singing and praising God when I'm in my having my anger. It's true, I don't. Pastor has seen it around here a couple of times. Of course, that's a two-way street. Couldn't let you get by without that, Pastor. With thankful hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Verse 17, whatever you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my goodness. How many can say they've done everything they've done today in the name of the Lord Jesus? I guess what that's telling me and all of us is that we have to get rid of more darkness. Some more stuff to get rid of. As you give thanks to God the Father because of Him. Hallelujah. Will these things help you, though? Can you see how this is just one chapter. You can read the whole New Testament now and read it in light of the judgment seat of Christ, and boy, I'm telling you, it'll talk to you. Because everything in there is dealing with getting out of the darkness out of you and more of Christ in. Verse 18. Why would he put this in here? A wife must put her husband first. This is her duty as a follower of the Lord. And a lot of men like to stop right there. And the women say, no, you read the next verse. A husband must love his wife and not abuse her. God wants happy homes. And if a husband and wife don't know how to treat each other with respect, you do not have a happy home. You must treat each other with respect. Again, I'm speaking from experience. We'd been married 3-4 years, something like that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day. He says, John, you're treating every woman in the church better than you're treating your wife. My flesh didn't like that. He says, you don't treat her with respect. And he says, I want that changed in your life. He says, you have told the world, you've told me that by marrying her, she's more important to you than any other woman in the world. And he says, you're treating all the rest of them better than her. There's something wrong with this picture. And I thank God he didn't let up on me until I made changes. Because my flesh didn't want to do that. It wanted to rule, control. Now, I don't know whether God ever speaks to wives like that. That's your problem. I had a problem. God dealt with me on that. And I'm glad he did. Because I treat her with more respect than any other woman in the world, and I have for many years now, because she means more to me. And I thank God for that. You know, I'm a blessed man. But it don't work unless I make it work from inside of me. It's not my business to see whether she respects me or not. It's my business to respect her for who she is as a daughter of God and let God deal with her on how she treats me. Does that feel good? But it's the truth. And then he says, children, always obey your parents. This pleases the Lord. Now, how do we get that across to children? I'll tell you one of the greatest ways that has been abused more than any other. And that is because parents do not respect and treat each other with love and respect. Their children don't know how to. If they do it right, it's a lot easier to get the children to do it right. And the next thing, you start on them when they're about 6 months old. And you don't ever let up. You love them unconditionally, but you correct them when they need it. And you keep drawing them close to God, because they will be formed into the God's image to the degree that you're formed into God's image, because they're following you. And when a husband and wife don't treat each other with respect, your children have no way of understanding what respect is. Now, let's just take that a little farther. Have a little more fun with this. You live like hell at home, then you come to church and act like everything's beautiful. You think them kids don't know the difference? Uh-oh. Pastor said I'm stepping on toes. Is that true or not? Yes, it is true. That's what God dealt with me with. He says, you think I'm going to bless you when you get over there in that church to teach and you're going to treat your kids and your family and the way you've been doing it here at home? Uh-uh. He wouldn't even anoint me to sing in the rest home until I behaved myself. I came home one day. It was on a Monday and I'd been working all day and I had a schedule that wouldn't quit. We had rest home service and I'd give my wife a bad time. I was angry when I got home, and so her and the kids got it. We got ready and was going to rest home service. And of course, my wife was hurting, but I was angry, and I didn't care. So I walked out the door, to go. And the Holy Spirit says, unless you make it right with her, don't you go there because I won't anoint you. I sent the kids out in the car and I stood there and waited. And I humbly apologized to her and asked her forgiveness and tried to not let that happen again. Because if I don't treat her right, I can't stand up here and be anointed to do what God's called me to do. How I walk in love with my wife is directly connected with how I can function spiritually. Directly. Okay, let's quickly finish these. Parents, don't be hard on your children. If you are, they might give up. Slaves, you must obey your earthly masters. Now, that's back then when there was slaves. Today, it would just transfer into, if you're working for somebody, try to please them at all times. And not just when you think they are watching. Anybody been guilty of that besides me? I try not to ever do that anymore, but I used to do that. He says, honor the Lord and serve your masters with your whole heart. Do your work willingly as though you were serving the Lord Himself. And that is especially true in church work. And not just your earthly masters. In fact, the Lord Christ is the one you are really serving. And you know that He will reward you. But Christ has no favorites. He will punish evil people just as they deserve. In other words, leave it in His hands. Don't you try and take His place. Switch back over to the other side of your page and I want to read this last quotation I put in there from the Final Quest on off of page 141 because I thought it would be something you could read over and over. It says, when you walk in the truth of knowing all you think and do are fully revealed here, you will have the freedom to live there on earth as you do here. It is only when you hide from me or others that the veils return to hide me from you. I am truth, and those who worship me must do so in spirit and truth. Truth is never found hiding in the darkness, but always seeks to remain in the light. Light exposes and makes manifest. Only when you seek to be exposed and allow who you are in your heart to be exposed will you walk in the light as I am in the light. True fellowship with me requires complete exposure. True fellowship with my people requires the same. When you stood before the judgment seat, you felt more freedom and security than you have ever felt because you did not have anything to hide anymore. You felt more security because you knew that my judgments were true and righteous. My standards of righteousness are unchanging. To live by this truth is to walk in faith. True faith is to have confidence in who I am. I like that. God bless you.